Mind-changing radio.
See, the thing about networking is it's not about going and finding clients if you're a business person. It's not about finding jobs. It's about making connections and building relationships.
Tongue-tied at network meetings? You know they help build up your business or career, but how do you strike up meaningful conversations? My next guest overcame shyness and learned how to network effectively to find clients and referrals. Please welcome Lori Seitz to Self Talk Radio Show, brought to you by Pure Energy Apothecary, now offering hand sanitizers and lotions in scented and unscented. Get yours at pureenergybody.com. Welcome to Self Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer. If you cringe at the thought of networking at the company mixer, you're tongue-tied, you're ready to hide behind your cocktail, well, my next guest teaches networking for thoughtful people. Please welcome Lori Seitz to Self Talk Radio Show. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me, Sarah.
Yes. Thanks for being here. And I really think this is an important topic because not everybody is the extrovert, and not everybody feels comfortable in a room full of people talking about their business. And how did you get into networking and helping people and coaching them into being comfortable in that atmosphere?
It started when I started my first business back in 2003, and I had a company called Zen Rabbit Baking Company. I was making a product called the Gratitude Cookie.
Ooh.
And yes, it was based on a family recipe, kind of a cross between a butter and a sugar cookie. And I was making customized gift packages to help business people say thank you to their clients, to people who sent them referrals, to people who worked in the back office who were supporting their efforts. And I needed to go to networking events to find clients and find people who could send me referrals or share resources with me or become strategic partners. And I will never forget the first chamber meeting I walked into and stood there at the door looking at everyone in the room who was laughing and talking and acting like they were hanging out with their best friends, and I knew no one. And it took every ounce of energy inside me to not run down the stairs, across the parking lot, and back into my car.
I've been there.
Yeah.
So what do you think triggers that in people?
A couple of different things. One is not knowing what to do in terms of not knowing how to break into a conversation, not knowing what kind of questions to ask, not feeling comfortable with what you have to share or how you present yourself. And the other, so it's the not knowing piece, the not knowing what to do. And secondly, the just feeling so self-conscious because you're shy or a quiet person, or you just don't have the confidence.
And how do you grow that confidence?
So the confidence comes from learning the other piece, like the strategy and the tactics. Gives you, once you have that piece, you have more confidence to be able to walk into the room. So it's a combination of the two things, but the one builds the other.
When you were promoting that and you went in, and what was the thing that made it easier for you to present and so feel like I know what I'm doing? I mean, one of the things that I always say when I get nervous is I say, I'm glad I'm here, I'm glad you're here, and I know what I'm doing. And that shifts me a little bit. Is there, are there any tactics you use that shift you into that zone?
Yeah, I actually created a meditation, a networking meditation. I did not find anything else, any other such thing out in the world. So I created a networking meditation that I share with my clients that they can use. It's 5 minutes to help ground and calm before you walk into that room.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Sort of a little pep talk you can have with yourself through your car speakers before you go in, or put your earbuds in.
Exactly. And get yourself grounded and feeling confident and comfortable. Yeah. But then knowing what to do, again, feeds the confidence so that you can go into the room. And it's really more about taking the focus off of yourself. The reason we're so apprehensive is because we're so self-conscious. And if we can become less self-conscious and more other conscious and focus more on the other person and asking them questions, then that self-consciousness and that painful, everybody's looking at me thinking I don't know what to do, feeling goes away.
That's great advice. We're speaking with Lori Seitz, and she is coaching people on networking for quiet people. And we're going to find out what are some icebreakers, what are some specific questions you can ask, because it's not about you, it's about the people you're meeting and the people you're connecting with when we come back on Self Talk Radio Show. Ready to create your own podcast? Not sure where to begin? Start with WebHelp US. They built Self Talk Radio Show's site and the site for I Love Old Time Radio Show, now boasting over 100,000 downloads. Why not have them build yours? WebHelpUS.com. Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. My guest is Lori Seitz, teaching us about networking for quiet people. What are some questions and icebreakers that you find effective in a networking situation?
I love this question. And let me turn it around to you for just a moment. What is the most common question that you get when you go to a networking function?
Are the breadsticks still good?
Really? People ask you
all the time. You know, they see me hanging around those appetizers and like, Sarah, those, you know, those breadsticks working out for you? Oh, they're great.
You must go to far more interesting networking.
I do.
Than anyone else I know, because typically the response to that question is, what do you do?
Oh, that what do you do? Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone has been somehow trained to ask. And it is the absolute worst question you could possibly come up with at a networking event. And yet it's the one that everyone asks. So first, if you know that you're going to get that question, one of the things I do when I work with my private clients is prepare them before you go to an event, prepare what you're going to say in response to that question so you're not caught like a deer in headlights. And then when you are the one asking the questions, don't ever ask that question. There are far more interesting questions to ask. My favorite is, what are you excited about working on right now?
Oh, that is a good one. That's much better than how are the breadsticks? I like that.
I don't know. I might want to know about the breadsticks too, though.
You might. The dip is amazing.
I'm a fan of breadsticks, so sure.
Yeah. So what are some things, what do you do if you are in transition? Like you just lost your job, you're desperate, looking for a job, and you go to one of these things. What's the thing that you say?
What do you say to response to the what do you do
question?
What do you,
it's what do you do? It's like, well, I'm in between jobs right now. Or, you know, what do you say that puts you in a position where you're desirable?
The interesting thing about this question is I actually had a conversation with a woman a while ago who was in that exact position. And she went to an event and some guy asked her, what do you do? And she said, oh, I really enjoy doing yoga. And it caught him completely off guard. But then they started a conversation in a different direction. So it doesn't necessarily have to be about business. See, the thing about networking is it's not about going and finding clients. If you're a business person, it's not about finding jobs, if that's maybe what it's about, making connections and building relationships. It's the start. It's the foundation of a relationship. And so how do you start conversations to get to start to know someone? And if you go with an attitude or a purpose of being of service in some way, how can I build my toolbox of resources so that I can connect other people?
Right.
And you go with that mindset.
Yeah.
Then it's not about what can I get for me?
Right.
And again, it takes away some of the anxiety because it's again, not about you.
Yeah, that's true. Now, what do you do if you're this has happened to me before, when you're in the mixer and you have someone come up to you that's just desperate for a job or something and you can't get rid of them, what are some things that you can do to shift yourself away from the person that monopolizes all your time so that you can move forward to other people and networking with others that might pull you closer to what you're looking for, what your end game is?
Great question. One thing you can do is introduce the person to someone else in the room if you know of somebody.
Oh, that's mean.
Well,
here, Sally, here's a time suck for you. I'm going to go have more breadsticks. You know, oh.
have you met Sally?
Have you met Sally?
That's one way.
That is a tactic.
So I would talk to the person for a couple of minutes because you can feel for them. They're feeling very socially inadequate and awkward. So a couple of minutes of conversation, and then the best way to gracefully exit a conversation is to say, I'm going to let you go mix and mingle with some other people, and I'm going to do the same. Here's the benefit of saying that versus I'm going to go refresh my drink, or I'm going to go to the ladies' room or the bathroom or whatever. But those two, the person could say, oh, I'll come with you.
Oh, that's right.
But if you gracefully release them and say, and put it back on them, I'm going to let you go mix and mingle with some other people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the same thing. Then it lets you push them away, but nicely.
That's a really good idea. I wouldn't have thought of that because it's almost like dating. You know, these connections that you're making with people are just mini dates everywhere. Now, what if you have a certain objective that you really want to, this is another thing that I've seen in networking situations where people are going in and they are so stuck on, I've got to get a job. I've got to make this connection with this person. It's got to happen. And it's like, they almost push the opportunity away from themselves. Is there a tactic that you have that would make someone interested in you if you don't know what to say? What's the first thing you could be doing? Like, let's say that's the VP of marketing and you want to work in that company more than anything. What's the first thing that should come out of your mouth when you go up to that VP of marketing?
It should be about him or her. How can you make their life easier? It's what presumably you would have done some research before you got there to know a little bit more about this person, if you knew that this person was going to be there.
Right, right.
If you didn't know they were going to be there and you see them, you have this amazing device in your hand that's a little computer, and you could quickly Google or go to LinkedIn and look them up and see what are there any commonalities you have, or what are their interests. If they posted an article or a post on LinkedIn recently, you could walk up and say, hey, I saw your article on LinkedIn or anywhere. I saw the article that was in Forbes magazine that you wrote last week, whatever it was. Start the conversation that way. And it's about them. Who's not going to be flattered to know that you found out something about them before you just walked up and started talking?
We're speaking with Lori Seitz. She teaches networking for quiet people. And when we come back, what are the 11 types of business relationships successful people have? We're going to find out from Lori when we come back on Self Talk Radio Show. Can't sleep? Have brain fog? Try this. Sleep meditation, soothing meditations to help you stop bad habits, start positive change, and sleep like a baby. Sleepmeditation.org. Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer. My guest is Lori Seitz. And Lori, what are the 11 types of business relationships successful people have?
That is a good question. No, there are there are relationships that you have with clients. You have referral sources. You have strategic partners. You have vendors, mentors, champions. Who else? Wow. Why are they leaving my head now?
Yeah, I was impressed. If there's 11 of them,
are 11?
When you're choosing a mentor, especially, how do you find the mentor that is going to point you in the right direction? What are the questions that you should be asking them?
Yeah, it's a matter of being clear on what you want to learn from a mentor, so that you can find the right one, because sometimes they just kind of fall into your lap. That's what has fortunately happened to me in finding a mentor. Like, I didn't proactively go out, but the relationship showed up that way. But it's a matter of asking them how can they be of service, but how can they help you get to where you want to be? So it's a matter of being clear on where you want to go so that they can be clear in how they can help you get there. That makes sense.
It does. You know, there's a lot of people that are feeling really stuck right now, and they're like, I have no idea what's next. What is the answer to what's next?
One of the things I say all the time is that if you are not getting access to all of the opportunities that you want, and that may be opportunities in terms of a new position, as a new job, more clients, more referrals, a seat on the board of a nonprofit, whatever it is, it's because your network is not big enough or strong enough.
So if you don't have a job right now, do you think it's advisable to volunteer your services until you do find that sweet job?
I think it's always a great idea to volunteer your services because you're building your network. Mm. It is a way to build a network. But if you don't have a job right now and you're looking to make connections, LinkedIn, I mentioned LinkedIn. I make no money from LinkedIn. I just promote it because I love using it. But you can build relationships, start relationships, build relationships through networking online now. Because if you can't get out to events in person for whatever reason, there are plenty of opportunities to still be able to build those relationships and to ask for introductions. This is an area where I think people are really hesitant to do that, to ask for an introduction from somebody you already know. But again, you need to be clear about who do you want an introduction to. You know, it can't be, could you just introduce me to some people? No, I want an introduction to marketing directors at healthcare companies, or I wanted an introduction to this specific person in this specific company. So
And that's where LinkedIn is really helpful, because mm-hmm. you can do those introductions so easily in there. Do you recommend LinkedIn to do the first connection, or do you recommend a networking event? Networking has been a little challenging in 2020, but mm-hmm. what do you recommend for people who are going to network on LinkedIn or a platform like that? What are some of the protocols for sending a introduction?
Yeah, this is a great place to mention that if you have been to an in-person networking event or a conference or anything like that, most people have a stack of business cards that they have done nothing with, and they've sat on their desk or on their credenza, collected dust. So if you have been to a networking event in the past, let's say, year, and you haven't done the follow-up, now would be a great time to start doing that. And one of the ways to start following up is to make that connection on LinkedIn and send a message and say, hey, we met at XYZ event, following up with those people. But so that's where you start building the relationship. But yes, you can initiate relationships on LinkedIn as well. It's always coming from a place of service. So we all have the experiences, and people are talking about it all the time about how much they hate. Somebody connects with them on LinkedIn and then automatically tries to sell them something or automatically asks them for, can you do this for me?
Right.
No. How can you, again, find some commonalities? How can I be of service? And then, you know, before you ask for them to do something for you, what can you do for them?
Lori Seitz has been my guest on Self Talk Radio Show. Lori, where do we get more information on how to work with you?
LinkedIn. Connect with me on LinkedIn.
Okay.
You can find me on LinkedIn, but you can also find me on the company is Zen Rabbit, and zenrabbit.com is the website. LinkedIn, there's a Zen Rabbit Facebook page, Zen Rabbit on YouTube, Zen Rabbit on Instagram.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Lori. We'll look for your information there. I'm Sarah Spencer for Self Talk Radio Show. If you're a fan of Self Talk Radio Show, head out to our Facebook page, take a picture of yourself listening to the show, and you could win yourself a $25 gift card courtesy of Pure Energy Apothecary or one of our guests or sponsors. Thank you so much for listening to Self Talk Radio Show, Mind Changing Radio, where you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course at selftalkradioshow.com.